It's a book that you do seriously need to read at least and contemplate what it has to say, because it has a lot to say about you personally, and of course about the nation in which you live today, and of course the world, where it's going, or rather where it's not going. A lot of people ask me the question, what are we doing and where are we going? Question that arises out of perplexity, out of anxiety, because of the things that people see happening and being done in the world and in the nation. Of course, there is this unrest everywhere that you look. You've got all the madness in the Middle East that stems from this satanic driven religion that of course has well permeated the rest of the world, your own nation too. And then there's the unrest that's just erupted in Brazil. Everywhere you look, nothing but yes sir. Take your eyes for salvation, sir. Okay. Okay. So as I was saying, you know, it's unrest everywhere. And, well, the Bible, you see, is the book, the only book. It's God's book. It's God's writings. It's the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, that is, which is in Jesus Christ. So you see, the Bible has the answers, not of course to all your questions, but to the ultimate ones, the ones that really matter. Where is it that this unrest comes from? Why is it? And of course, well, what is the end of it going to be? It is my own conviction from reading the Bible that we have entered into the last of the last days, the days in which the Antichrist himself shall rise up. Then of course, following that, the Bible says Jesus Christ will return again with his holy angels in flaming fire, the Bible says, to take vengeance against all those that do not know God and do not obey the gospel. So it's important that you have the right answers to these questions. What's happening? Where are we going? And where is it all going to end? That, of course, ultimately is where it's going to end, with the coming again of Jesus Christ to usher in his kingdom of righteousness, and of course to bring an end to all evil, wickedness and unbelief of men. It's important, of course, that you know and understand these things, that you're clear in your head about them, because, well, you want to be found on the right side on that day, do you not? You don't want to be found on the wrong side. That would be disastrous. That would be catastrophic. Here's what the Bible says, what God says. He says, your iniquities have separated you from God. You see, the saddest sight in all the world that God sees when he looks down upon the human race is not the abuse of children the starvation and the many other things that you would deem to be the saddest sights. God created man in his own image in righteousness, wanting for nothing as far as God's concerned. But now, the case, the state of the human race is one of degeneracy and, of course, increasing degeneracy. People with their fairy tale religion tell me that we are creatures of evolution and that we're evolving. Well, I don't know. As I look at the human race over my, well, short space of time, 70 years, I haven't seen any development at all. All I've seen is just a race of people degenerating, getting worse and worse. If we are creatures of evolution, if we are evolving, well, it's taking an awful long time for you to get better. But all I see is human beings getting worse, getting more confused, more mad, more evil and wicked towards one another, and more unbelieving. Just, of course, as the Bible said it would be. Well, it's taken you, according to your high priest Dawkins, according to him, it's taken you some billion years to get from being animals to get to being wicked, evil, people destroying sinners. How many more billions and billions of years will it take for you to evolve into decent, loving, kind, and forgiving creatures? No, degenerating, that's the state, that's the condition of the human race and of the world. Not getting better, not evolving, but degenerating. And that's the saddest sight that God sees as he looks down upon the human race. No grace, withered, ugly, lifeless souls. That is the only way by which you could describe the human race today. Your iniquities have separated you from God. But why is it that we're in such an evil state? Why is it that we find ourselves in this sad condition? Well, it's not God's doing, because God made man upright. The Bible gives us the answer. Man fell into sin, and that sin has increased through the generations, is passed on from one generation to another. Sinful parents beget sinful children. That's where the wickedness, that's where the evil comes from, that separates you from God. And unless, according to Jesus Christ, unless a man is born again,
God or not,
he cannot. You are.
I don't understand what you're saying. Are you? Yeah,
well,
God
listen.
Or not,
listen.
God.
Four.
Teach me.
Four.
Okay.
Teach you. Well, here, I'll give you a book. I'll teach you.
I have a question.
Go on. There you go.
The church is meant to follow God's
teaching. You want
to
read it?
I'll read it.
Okay.
The church is meant to follow God's teaching.
Right.
And
depends what church you're talking about.
Protect the poor.
Which church?
Any church. Anyone who says they follow the Lord.
Okay, right.
How can they afford...
Wait a minute.
How can they afford to build massive churches, but they're still... people in need?
Okay, well, I don't see anybody today in this country building massive churches. In fact, I see them crumbling, falling, decaying, empty.
It has something to do with people losing faith in the Lord.
Oh, yes. That's what God says in his word in the Bible, that in the last days there shall be a massive falling away. When the Son of Man comes, he says, shall he find faith on the earth? Answer, very, very little. In fact, none at all. Because when he comes again, all that will be left, all the believers will be gone, and all that will be left is just sad, unbelieving, atheistic people.
I agree with that.
Yep.
I will read your book.
Okay, thank you, sir, for your question. So, as I say, in the saddest sight of all, man made upright, but now fallen into disrepair, separated from God because of his iniquities. Iniquity is just another word for evil, for sin, darkness, unbelief, call it what you will. But it's the most dreadful evil that can ever fall upon a person, to be separated from God. But you see, God makes it clear exactly what the cause is. Your iniquities. Many of us, we can see the evils of other people. Many would say to me, "Good message, Mr. Preacher. I've got a husband, wife, son, daughter, needs to hear that message." Oh yes, very clear about the wickedness of other people, but what about our own? What about your own? God says in his word, your iniquities, your sin has separated you from God. So you see, it's self to blame, nobody else. No good pointing the finger at anybody else. And then, of course, the cause is your own sin. You see, the day is coming when we'll give account to every single one of us. Jesus says, for every idle word that you've ever spoken, including, of course, sins of omission and commission, things that you've omitted to do that you ought to have done, and things that you have done that you ought not to have done. Separation, you see, from some things and from some people is very good. I mean, you would want to separate yourself, would you not, from unclean people. You know the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. That covers every form of immorality known to man. That includes, fornicating outside of marriage, sexual practice. That includes, of course, the government's proposed new redefinition of marriage, which is no marriage at all. Sodomy is how the Bible describes it. Wickedness, evil, sin. You see, the cause is your own sin. Anything that is contrary to God's law, those Ten Commandments. No other gods but God. Thou shalt not steal, kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness, telling of lies. You see, people, it's all there for you in black and white, in God's Word, in the Bible. Read it, inform yourself, and see what a great evil your state and condition is in being separated from God. But to be separated from unclean people, that's a good thing. To be separated from violent people, well, that's a good thing too. To be separated from drug dealers, porn addicts, to be separated from many kinds of people is a good thing. But to be separated from God, not good at all. Not good. That's the worst evil that can befall a human being, any human being. Hello, son, how you doing?
Are you taking your prayers, are you?
Can I give the wee man a book to read? A little book. Maybe his mum or nan will read it for him, eh? It's about Jesus, eh? Okay, son?
No, about Jesus,
don't you? Yeah, good for you. Good for you. You stick with him. Have a nice day.
Hey, thank you.
Okay? You're welcome.
Have a
nice day. So, as I was saying, yeah, to be separated from God, that's not good at all. That's bad, you know. And of course, if it continues right to the end, you know, till the day when you cock your toes up and go out of this world, feet first, just like everybody else, everybody comes to that point. It is appointed unto man once to die, the Bible says. After this, then comes the judgment. So you see, people, to depart this world, this life, in a state of separation from God, it then becomes eternal, everlasting. No way back then. Now you have the opportunity. Now the gospel is presented to you. Now the facts are placed before you. Your iniquities, says God, have separated you from Him. So you need to do something about it. What is that something? Repent. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Jesus says, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Can I help you, my dear?
What?
Say again? What do you mean?
Charity down
the castle. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the charity shop.
Well, that's a good thing to do, but good works don't save nobody. Yeah. It's believing in Jesus, that alone.
I believe in Jesus.
Do you? Right, okay.
I believe in Jesus and all.
Do you, right?
I do.
Okay, here, go look. There you go, have a read of that when you go home.
Okay. Who died, anyway?
What?
Who died?
I don't know. Who died?
Died.
No. Okay. Have a nice day, my dear.
I'm ready, babe.
Okay. So, as I was saying, you know, to be separated for all eternity, no way back from God, but today, now's your chance, your opportunity. Obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus, His own instruction. So this separation, you see, in between you and God, it's not local, it's not geographical, it's not that God's a long, long, long way away from you. Oh no, He's very close to you. In fact, it's through Him, you see, that you live and breathe, that you have your being. You see, the world is upheld by God. He sustains the universe and everything in it. Life itself, yours included. Your very next breath is in the palm of His hand. His to give and His to take away. So you see, He's not far from you. Not a long way from you. Not a million miles from you. When God says your iniquities are separated between you and God, well, it means, you see, that you're separated from His love, His grace, forgiveness, goodness, and kindness. He's present with you, but He's present with you in wrath. You see, the Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress, hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Can I help you, sir?
No, sir. I'm just listening to you.
Okay, right. Is that a book to read?
Oh, yes.
Have a read, yeah. Please. Yeah. Thanks. Have a nice day, eh?
All right. Thank you very much.
So, the saying, you know, it's, people suppress the truth about God, you see. Everybody knows that God is. You know, it's, it's your plain as the nose on your face that God is. Because of all the things that I've created, God says, whoever you are, O man, you are without excuse. No excuse for not knowing that God is. You live in a universe that's been designed. Who designed it? Huh? didn't just happen, not just by chance. God designed it and created it, and because of all of God's creation, it's as plain as a pike staff that God is. Question that ought to be in your mind is, who is he and where can I find him, because I need to know him. But of course you see people separated because of your iniquities, your sin, separated from God, not in distance, present with you, but he's present with you in wrath, in anger, holy displeasure. Why? Because you suppress, you hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is another word for iniquity, sin, that which separates you from God. But then, of course, it's a very negative thing, of course, to be separated from God, because you're separated from all that's good. You know, God's grace, that is his kindness, his forgiveness, his love that he bestows upon repentant and believing sinners. Separated, of course, from all that's good and all that's truly beneficial. Maybe you're one of these dudes that lives off the benefit system. And of course, well, if you can work the system, there's many, many benefits that you can get on the back of the state, you know. You can live in a mansion house, they tell me. And you can, well, you can be drawing in 30, 40 grand a year, you know, if you really work the system. Plenty of benefits to be got off of your socialist, fascist state government. But all people, I tell you, separated from God because of your iniquities, you get no benefits. Not at all, not from God. You don't get the least, people, until you have repented of your sin, turned from it, and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first good work that you'll ever do. The one lady just a few moments ago was telling me that she worked in the charity shop. Big deed. Exactly. Well, that's one way of describing it, son. That's one way of describing it. I wouldn't use that language myself, but it's an apt description. She works in a charity shop. So what? Big deal. You think God smiles on you because you work in a charity shop? People, good works do not save anybody. God does not care for your good works. It's faith and faith alone that saves a person. You don't do no good work until you believe in Jesus Christ from your heart, repenting of your sin and believing and trusting in him. But then, of course, you see, you're living constantly separated from God under his wrath. You are constantly, every month, every year, every month, every day, every hour, every minute, you are living under the displeasure and the wrath of God. Under the constant threat of his consuming wrath. You see, people, it's kind of like, you know, the sword of Damocles. Don't know if you've ever heard about that, but it hangs over you like a mighty sword and ready to fall on you at any given moment. And you fall out of this world separated from God, that sword of judgment falls upon you. You see, you're in a very dangerous place, separated from God, because you just don't know what a single day is going to bring forth. Could it be that I'm talking to somebody here this afternoon, and this is your last day on planet Earth? Maybe it wouldn't be surprising. People are taking out this world the healthiest of people. You say, you know, I go to the gym, I pump the steel, I do the diets, you know, and I'm healthy and strong and fit, and I'm going to live for many years yet. Hey, that could be the biggest delusion that you live under. This could be your last day on planet Earth. God has 1,000,000, 10,000,000 ways in which He can take you out of this world in a nanosecond. The fittest of you, the youngest of you, and the oldest of you. So you see, it's a very dangerous place to be, separated from God. And of course, people who are separated from God because of their iniquities, you know, it's been my experience anyway, you know, there's not very many old people get saved, get right with God. It's mostly young people. Because you see, the older and the longer you go on in sin, you grow, your heart grows calloused, hardened towards God. You become, you know, desensitized, I think would be the right word, to God and to His Spirit and to His Word. You become more cynical, more unbelieving, more entrenched in your iniquitous and godless ways. So you young people, don't believe in it too long. Get right with God today. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Jesus says, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But you see, this separation, it begins at birth, because the Bible says, you see, sin's a natural matter, you see. We are conceived in sin, born in sin. You have a sinful nature. Ever ask yourself the question, why did I do that when I knew it was wrong? Why did I say that when I knew it was wrong? Because you got a sinful nature inside you. You naturally do sinful things. You're a sinner because you were born that way, not because you do things wrong. It's perfectly natural, you see, that you do wrong against God from birth. It begins at birth. And the separation grows wider and wider the longer you live. And then, of course, well, if you don't make amends, if you don't repent and believe the gospel, then it becomes eternal, everlasting. You go out this world in sin, separated from God by your iniquities, and that's the way you stay. The tree lies where it falls. There's no shifting it once you've gone out of this world. Eternally separated from God in the eternal damnation of hell. Tell it like it is. I'm not one of these pussyfooting preachers that you find in your churches, in your state Anglican churches, you know, these bishops that deny every ounce of truth that ever God spoke in His Word. You may not like me, you might even hate me, but I will tell you the truth because I love you and want to see you right with God. If that makes me your enemy, then so be it. But I will tell you the truth, and I will tell it to you like it is. But then, of course, there is a positive to this. There is one who can heal the breach. And only one person. His name's not Allah, and his name's not Muhammad, and it's not Confucius, and it's not Buddha. How could that big, ugly, fat monster ever do anybody any good? I ask you. One person, one only. Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus, the only mediator between God and man. The only one who can heal the breach between you and God. Heal that separation. He died for the ungodly. to make you right with God, make you righteous. Heal that breach. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. I am the way, he says, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. None other name, the Bible says, under the entire canopy of heaven whereby a person can be saved. One name, Jesus, and him alone. So, that's the positive. You come to him, and he'll make you right with God, but nobody else can. His separations are terrible, terrible evil. Your iniquities have separated you from God, the Bible says. You know, God is the prime good, you know. And to be separated from him is to be attached to and is to come to the place of prime evil. Cut off from God. Forsaken of God. You know, you use that phrase, don't you? God forsaken. That describes your nation. That describes England today. A God-forsaken nation. Why? Not because God first forsook you, but because England first forsook God. You know, it started with all this explaining the Bible away. Your bishops and your priests, your vicars as you call them. And then, of course, it went on from there. The embracing of Darwin's daftness and Dawkins while he continues it on. That's your popular, most popular religion in England today. Dawkinism or Darwinism, as you like to call it, godless atheism. Yeah? The worst evil, prime evil in your nation. And that's why you're God forsaken. That's why you're separated from God, because of your unbelief, because you have no faith. But then, of course, to be separated from God means you're separated from life. You say, what are you talking about, man? I'm living, breathing. No, you're existing. You're existing, you're not living. I am come, Jesus says, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Is that you? Abundant life? Is that how you would describe yourself? Don't look like it to me. You look like a bunch of miserable sinners to me. No happiness, no joy, no life in you. Just bodies walking about carrying inside them dead souls. Your bodies are coffins carrying about dead souls inside them. Nah, just existence, that's all you got. Nobody lives, nobody truly lives until they come to know Jesus. This is eternal life, Jesus says, knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ whom he sent. Separated from any power to do any good, any power, any strength to overcome evil, you can't. Hey, you can't do it. You try. Why do you go to the chemist for patches to get rid of your addictions? Because you can't hack it on your own. I need a patch, you say, Mr. Chemist, to get rid of the fags. I need a patch, Mr. Chemist, to get rid of the drugs. And if that don't work, then you go to your psychos. No power. No power, people. No strength. You cannot overcome one single sin on your own. Powerless. Powerless. But the Bible do say that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved from the power of sin. You need the power, the strength of Jesus. He alone. Oh, he alone can give you the strength, the ability to overcome the greatest addiction that you have of sin inside you. All the cycles in the world and all the patches in the world won't get rid of your sin. Only Jesus. You can laugh, old man. Laugh all your way home. God's not mocked. Believe me, that which you sow, you will reap. And you'll reap those. You'll reap that sin of mockery and laughter. I tell you, you'll reap bitter tears if you don't repent of it and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, of course, well, if you're separated from God, well, you look to something else for comfort. You look to material things. But what comfort do they give you the moment you've got them, eh? You work, you do your business, you fill your coffers with more and more money, and you get more and more things, and you're still never satisfied. Even when you get the best thing you've ever wished for, 5 minutes later, it's flat and you're working something else. Because created things, material things, stuff, never satisfied anybody. You need the bread of life. You need the true bread that came down from heaven. Jesus is his name. He alone can bring you satisfaction. Come unto me, he says, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But you know, people, it's the worst plague to be separated from God because of your iniquities. I tell you, it's the worst plague that could ever befall a person, a nation, anybody, to be separated from God. I mean, can you imagine what hell would be like? Hell is separation from God. Hell is no way back. No love, no kindness, no goodness, no mercy, no wholesomeness. And that forever and ever and ever. When you've been there for a million years, you will still have eternity to go. It's a terrible evil. Get right with God. Get repenting and get believing before it's too late, before you fall into that place. But then, of course, when the evil day comes, what comfort will you have? Separated from, cut off from God. And I do believe there is an evil day coming to these shores. I believe you got a whole mess of trouble to look forward to in England. You ain't but seen the beginning of it. Austerity, you don't know the meaning of the word. Eh? But you got more coming. And all this filth, all this dirty stuff that your government's legislating for, members of parliament, the houses of lords, have sold you out as a nation to filth and uncleanness. It's an abomination in the sight of God. And I tell you, people, you got this satanic-driven religion in your midst. And one day I tell you, you mark my words, I ain't no prophet, I'm just a preacher, but you mark my words, there will be civil war again in this country. Because you've got two civilizations in this country. And they're both coming from totally, totally different ideologies. And they cannot live and survive together. In that day, when that evil comes, when that wickedness breaks out in your nation and your country, I ask you, who will you turn to then? Who'll comfort you? Who'll support you? Who'll help you? The House of Lords, Cameron, Clegg, you must be joking. If you are trusting in those bunch of high class plebs, then you want your head looking. Because together, along with yourselves, separated from God, you have destroyed your nation.
Hallelujah!
You have destroyed your nation. People, no comfort at all. Cut off and separated from God. Now's the time to do something about it. No good waiting till it comes. Repent ye and believe the gospel, because the kingdom of God is at hand. But the separation is made. No, it's not weird at all, my friend. Because you haven't got anybody to do the job in England. Yeah.
Jesus won't pay my bills, mate.
No, of course.
Pay my rent.
No, of course he won't. What's I got to do anything? What's I got to do with anything?
When I do pay my bills,
so who's paying them now? Who's paying them? Well, when the government runs out of money and it's running out of money fast, who's going to pay them then?
I'll pay my bills.
My dear, believe me, you're heading for trouble. Pardon? Not blind faith at all. Evidence.
A matter of hope in Jesus himself. But in the Old Testament through the Bible, there are so many things that are flawed. You read it. God does have a name. There are icons of God. God's name is Ael. He had a wife called Asherah, which means the tree of life. There were multiple gods. There was not just one single God.
Done the drugs.
No, I'm not doing the drugs.
Not mine anyway. Not my Old Testament. Anyways, I'm saying, people, terrible, terrible evil. But you see, it's sin is iniquity. Your sin has separated between you and God. The separation, you see, is caused by sin. The guilt of sin. Under condemnation, the Bible says, because of the sin. And you see, people, the only way out of that sin is through the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus came into the world for this very purpose. What for? To save sinners, to rescue them from that guilt and condemnation. Bible says, therefore there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, trusting in him, because he paid the price. He took their guilt. He took their condemnation. That's why he died. Had to die on the cross. You see, shedding his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins, God says. The Lamb of God, he's called, who takes away the sin of the world, even yours, should you repent and believe on his name. But then, of course, you see, this guilt is what separates you, leaves you defiled, unclean as far as God's concerned. In the Bible, the question's asked, who can ascend the holy hill of God? He who is of clean hands and clean heart. Well, you go where you will, any store you like, and ask them for some commodity that will remove the defilement of sin from you, that it will clean your heart and remove all the sinful, evil, wicked thoughts that ever you had and have there, and they'll laugh you out of the place. They'll tell you there's no such a commodity. But there is. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross for ungodly sinners. I came not to call the righteous, Jesus says, but sinners to repentance. So that in repenting, turning to Jesus, who died for ungodly sinners, believing on him, that you might be saved. and that defilement removed, washed and made clean. Whoever you are, whatever you are, whatever you've done, whoever you've been, whoever you've been sleeping with, there is no sin that is deeper than the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness, a reality. Pardon, removal of that guilt and that defilement. You see, to stand before God, to be with God, for that separation to be healed, you see, there must first of all be a washing, a cleansing. And only Jesus, only the Son of God, He alone can do that. So you see, without Jesus, without the Christ of God, without the Son of God, without the salvation, the redemption of God, without the truth of God's Word, the Bible, the Gospel, the good news about Jesus, you're left in this state of separation from God because of your iniquities. You're left in a weak, contemptible state and condition. Sin is a national disgrace. Sin is a disgrace to any people, the Bible says. A national disgrace. As a nation, you have never been in such an appalling and atrocious state as you are today. And people, only one person to blame, you yourself. Your iniquities, God says, have separated between you and God. You and your sins, that's what's done it. So you see, people, what you're left with, you're left with a whole mess of sin increasing as the days go on. You're left with a whole mess and confusion of religion filling your land. You're left with no truth. You're left with confusion, incompetence everywhere you look throughout the country. All the king's men, all the king's horses can't put England back together again. Only Jesus can do that. But first you must repent. You must turn from your sin, from your iniquities. And you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Then of course you're left with more broken homes, more broken marriages, more illegitimate children. Never have been so many bastard children in your nation as there is today. In their thousands, maybe, perhaps even millions, I don't know, given over to foolishness. That's what God says in His Word. You can read it for yourself. People who forsake Him, who exchange the truth for a lie, as you've done in embracing your Darwinism and Dawkinism, godless atheism, you exchange the truth for a lie, God says, okay, that's the way you want to go, and He gives you a shove, off you go. You learn the hard way. But there's an easy way. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is light, my yoke is easy. The devil, sin is a hard taskmaster. Jesus ain't. No, He's not. The gospel, the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Whosoever shall call the name of the Lord, Jesus that is, shall be saved from sins. Penalty, its wages is death everlasting from sin's power, held in his grip and separated from God and from his presence that permeates your world, your nation, your homes, and your own heart. So people, the good news and the good instruction from Jesus Christ himself is, repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And God's command to you is a promise, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You'd like to have a copy of God's word, his own book? Well, it's offered to you free of charge, without cost or obligation to you. It's God's word. Take, do with it what you will. But maybe as you read it, and I pray for you, that God might just shine the light into your heart and mind and give you the knowledge of himself. Separated from God because of your iniquities, but there's hope. Hope in the gospel. Christ who died for the ungodly, who died in order to heal that breach. Only but only you would believe. Repent ye and believe the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. You'd like to have a copy of God's word? I'm out of here, but you come and ask for one. God bless you.